The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at wrestlingwithjonas.com.
And hello again, wrestling fans. Welcome to another edition of This Week in History. This week, we're going to look at the week of events, birthdays, deaths, you name it, title changes, and everything that happened during the week of June 3rd through June 9th. We want to thank everybody for joining us, whether it's on Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else you get your podcasts from. As you know, we are a video form on Rumble, YouTube, and, of course, Facebook. You can always catch us on. We appreciate any time you interact with us, so do check us out at our website, scumbagswrestling.ca. And the easiest way to get in touch with us is through our Facebook page, where it's almost instantaneous responses for that. So as it said, we are thankful for Coolbet to be a part of our sponsorship. We are part of the Jonas Podcasting Network. And of course, we are happy for our sponsorship with Hammerlock Pure Wrestling. And Hammerlock Pure Wrestling is proud to partner with Jobsite Brewing Company to bring pro wrestling to Stratford, Ontario. Get ready for some great wrestling action. Stratford tickets are only $20 and available at Jobsite Brewing. We're bringing your friends and family, and this show is family friendly. You don't want to miss Hammerlock Pure Wrestling, bringing back the golden age of professional wrestling. So with all that out of the way, as I forgot to mention the date, that is July 9th in Stratford, Ontario, and then July 16th back in Strathroy. So we definitely want to see you out at our next shows for Hammerlock Pure Wrestling. Now that that's all out of the way, let's head over to Niagara Falls and welcome in Jonesy. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. Just practicing my taunts and my poses.
Excellent. Yeah, we were just recently in London, and good to see you actually in person this past weekend. So, yeah, it's a rare opportunity. Could have even potentially record when you're in London next time. There are some festivals coming up in London that you're a part of, if you want to plug those quickly.
Yeah, I'll be down for the Kids Expo. Oh, sorry, it's called the Children's Festival now. I'll be down for that, which is next weekend. Let me get trusty calendar. That is the 17th to the 19th, and lots of kids stuff, food vendors too, if you just want food, and of course, rides. And then the following weekend, I'm down for the International Food Festival, which this year, besides all the food that is there, of course, international food, and but added this year is not just beer and wine can you walk around with, but there's going to be tons of other options, fancy drinks with rum, vodka, tequila. There's a ton of daiquiris. There's just a ton of different type of drinks that you can get this year at the Food Fest. And of course, I'll be down for the Rib Fest Civic Holiday Weekend.
Excellent. Some great events coming into London and area. So if you're anywhere within driving distance, make that drive to London and support local vendors and food. But now that that's all so out of the way and we've plugged our friends and made sure everybody's taken care of that we like, let's look at this week in history.
Oh, man, that sounds like a dog shaking. Oh, right. So the headlines, starting with June 3rd. 35 years ago, June 3rd, 1987, at a wrestling challenge taping in Rochester, New York, the Midnight Rockers, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, defeated Jose Estrada and Jimmy Jack Funk. However, the match would never air due to Michaels and Jannetty having a drunken disturbance at a hotel that night. They were fired, but would return a year later as what would be the legendary Rockers. Also, Mr. T would return to WWF TV for the summer, mostly as a guest secondary referee. 33 years ago, June 3rd, 1989, in Boston, Massachusetts, Dusty Rhodes makes his WWF television debut at a house show broadcasted on NESN Sports. The common man, if you will, that was the wrong accent, but whatever, would substitute for Jake the Snake Roberts, defeating the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. The three-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion was last seen nationally at Starrcade 88. Rhodes, a month prior to the event, booked a storyline where he would bleed out of his eye from a spike from Road Warrior Animal's shoulder pad. Turner Broadcasting, who had just bought Jim Crockett Promotions and rebranded it World Championship Wrestling, decreed that there would be no on-screen bloodletting on their program, and Rhodes was fired for the incident. And an interesting tidbit, Dusty's son, Dustin, was also fired from WCW for the same offense in 1995. June 3rd, 2002, and would that 1995 events, would that be
That was the uncensored pay-per-view that was quite censored, and that was the King of the Road match that he had with Blacktop Bully, a.k.a. Smash Demolition.
All right, yeah, and we both thought that was a pretty decent match, and kind of fun. You get to see, like, a school bus go by. And
it was heavily edited, though, at the same time, which...
I understand edited for time, but not edited as far as, you know... I mean, I would understand if they edited because one of them got an eye plucked out by accident. You know, I understand that. But, yeah. Anyways, June 3rd, 2002, Shawn Michaels joins the NWO for about a month. Then they disbanded.
June 3rd, that was just a waste of time.
Yeah. Just let the NWO just go into the past and... June 3rd, 2003, a big surprise return happened as Kurt Angle returned for only 3 months off for neck surgery. The short time was because of a less evasive surgery approach, an alternative method where only the neck spurs and part of the affected disc were removed. This would cut a whole 9 months off his rehab.
Yeah, hopefully that's something that maybe Big E has to deal with, but it doesn't even sound like he's going to even have surgery with his broken neck. So who knows what methods are going on, and a lot of advances happened in surgery anyway. So
yes, and I could argue that it's all false. He didn't really break his neck because the man has no neck. 38 years ago, June 4th, 1984, in Philly, Andre the Giant defeated Big John Studd. On this day, as legend has it, Andre the Giant fell asleep during the match with Big John Studd during an 8.5-minute headlock. The time of the match was 18 minutes. 36 years ago, June 4th, 1986, in Argyle, Texas, Kerry Atkinson, a.k.a. Kerry Von Erich, is injured in a motorcycle accident. Kerry would suffer a dislocated hip and a severely damaged right foot, which eventually led to having his foot amputated and fitted with a prosthetic. You wouldn't have known watching the Texas Tornado. He was minus a foot.
No clue.
Yeah, now you can kind of see it a little bit, the way he steps. But yeah, overall, wow. Amazing. 13 years ago, June 4th, 2011, WWE re-signs Chris Masters. He would last 2 years before being let go a second time. 9 years ago, June 4th, 2013, Spike TV announces via press release they have signed former UFC light heavyweight champion Quentin Rampage Jackson to appear on both TNA and Bellator MMA programming. Jackson would only wrestle one match in TNA, and after seeing how TNA ran things, he has said he had no plans on a return.
Yeah, and movie fans would recognize Rampage Jackson as playing Mr. T, as character B.A. Baracus in the movie version of The A-Team.
And I've never seen that movie version of The A-Team, have you?
I think I own it, but I never watched it.
Oh, wow. All right. Everyone has a couple of those movies that they bought or own but never watched. June 5th, 2000, Goldberg made his in-ring return to WCW with a quick victory over Tank Abbott. After recovering from the limo arm, Hulk smash incident, that buggered his arm. Yeah,
that was
so fun to watch, though, and his reaction to when he pulls back and ow. 16 years ago, June 5th, 2008, Terry Taylor was named head of talent relations for TNA. Taylor had previously worked as a producer, road agent, and interviewer for the company. He was fired from TNA in May 2011.
That guy floats around to everybody, it seems. I think right now he's working with WWE. Maybe done in NXT, but he kept on bouncing back and forth between WWE and TNA, or even before that with WCW. I guess he has a really good mind for the business, but it's one of those guys that he can only have around for so long before he's either used up a lot of his usefulness and his ideas, or something that he keeps on being able to bounce between everything going on. And I think I heard on one of the Conrad Thompson guys' podcasts that he might be one of those main sources that Dave Meltzer has. So he could be a lovely leak. It's definitely when he was in WCW.
Yeah, could be. Could be. And with him as well. I forget my train of thought there, so I'll just continue. I know it was about Terry Taylor. Where are we here? I think we're at 16 years ago. 2008, June 5th, WWE announces they have acquired the World Class Championship Wrestling and Stampede Wrestling libraries, minus the Stampede matches featuring Bret Hart, which Hart owns the rights to. Hence, days after uploading the old new content, the WWE Network would pull the content in December of 2015. And one more, and then I'm going to make the tag. 14 years ago, June 5th, 2008, WWE re-signs AC Connor, a.k.a. D'Lo Brown. Brown, a four-time WWE European champion and intercontinental champ. He would wrestle primarily in dark matches during his brief comeback. He made just one TV appearance in his return, defeating Santino Marella on Raw. He would be released in 2009 due to budget cuts.
Okay, and I get to tag in with June 6th, 1993. Dog is afraid of the rain that's going on, so sorry about all the clocking around. June 6th, 1993, Kevin Nash would make his WWF debut as Shawn Michaels' unnamed bodyguard. Later on, we would know him to be Ed Diesel, and he was a quickly ascending up the ranks, winning all the titles in under a year, but unfortunately, a lot of people think he was one of the worst drawing world champions that WWE ever had. Anyways, 11 years ago on June 6, 2011, Andy Levine is announced as the winner of Tough Enough reboot on Raw. Just 2 months after his win, he violated the WWE wellness policy and is suspended for 30 days. He's then released in April 2012, less than a year after his win, and he would move on to compete for World Wrestling Council in Puerto Rico. And on 17 years ago, June 7th, 2005, at SmackDown taping in Kansas City, Missouri, Chris Benoit was selected first for SmackDown, second overall, in the WWE draft lottery. 12 years ago, on June 7th, 2010, WWE presented a Viewer's Choice edition of Raw at all the matches on the show were determined by live vote, much like Cyber Sunday and Taboo Tuesday events were done. I'd love to see WWE do that again. But during that whole event, the main event saw John Cena and CM Punk fight to a no contest. Near the conclusion of the match, NXT Season 1 winner Wade Barrett came out. Pandemonium hit, and the rest of the rookies from the first season of NXT would surround the ring and John Cena, and would tear the ring apart at the same time. Anyone involved with WWE got attacked, even the announcer, Justin Roberts, who got choked up by his own tie by Daniel Bryan, and that violated some standards and practice stuff, and Bryan Danielson ended up getting fired. But of course, he got brought back. But Yeah, so that happened with his own tie. All the rookies and Wade Barrett would all be wearing armbands with the letter N logo for the Nexus era to begin. And sadly, Big Match John vetoed the big win of the Nexus to give them some power. And the rest is history, where the faction just went downhill from there, unfortunately.
Yeah, Nexus was one of the more exciting things that at the time WWE had going for them, and they just crapped all over it.
Yeah. And 18 years ago on June 8th, 2004, after a WWE event in Germany, John Layfield got fired. Oh, there we go. It's that one. From CNBC. The reason JBL, the wrestler, did a goose step and gave the Nazi salute several times during the event. Luckily for JBL, he didn't get charged for his illegal actions in Germany, because the Germans, unlike NBC, knew that it was wrestling character and did the action, not the real man. And despite the public relations nightmare that JBL caused, he still won the WWE Championship 3 weeks later. And our final newsworthy event of this week, 28 years ago on June 9th, 1994, WWF holds their very first Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Baltimore, Maryland. This would be the first year a full class was inducted, as the year before it was just Andre the Giant in the creation of the Hall of Fame. Inductees for this first class was Freddie Blassie, Bobo Brazil, James Dudley, Gorilla Monsoon, Arnold Skolin, Buddy Rogers, and Chief J. Strongbow. And of course, that has now become a tradition, mainly around WrestleMania, and made into more of an event than just a dinner that not many fans could attend. So, yeah, that's your headlines for this week.
All right. We're going to move on to deaths. And Sean, would you like to start off the deaths?
Yeah, sure. 6 years ago on June 3rd, 2016, the world lost boxing legend in Cassius Clay, also known as Muhammad Ali. He died of septic shock in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he was only 74 years old. Obviously, he was known as the greatest of all time and did a lot of different appearances over the years on TV shows. He got, even the thing here has him carrying the Olympic torch years ago. Unfortunately, so many hits to the head and different ailments made it impossible for him to have a normal life in his older years. And yeah. Whenever somebody mentions the greatest of all time, you know it's Muhammad Ali. 16 years
or The Rock.
16 years ago on June 7th, 2006, John Anthony Tenta Jr., also known as Earthquake, died of bladder cancer in Sanford, Florida. He was only 42 years old, and he was born June 22nd, 1963. In British, Surrey, British Columbia, and did sumo wrestling. He did regular wrestling, professional wrestling. And eventually, as people remember, he got brought in by Jimmy Hart and Dino Bravo to attack the Ultimate Warrior as a fan in the stands, and kept on going from there. He had all those different identities in WCW, not a shark. And came back as Gulga because he had lost so much weight and couldn't be recognized as Earthquake anymore, even though he did his same moveset. But, yeah, unfortunately, he passed away 16 years ago. So rest in peace to both Muhammad Ali, who would have been 74, or passed away, sorry, at 74 years old, and John Tenta, who passed away at 42 years of age.
Okay, moving on to birthdays. Birthdays and what would be birthdays. Okay, June 3rd, Braxton Sutter, also known as The Blade, he turns 42.
Superstar Spotlight is Gorilla Monsoon. June 4th would have been the 84th birthday of Robert James Gino Marella, a.k.a. one of the all-time best commentators of all time. Gorilla Monsoon, of course. Monsoon was a giant in high school, playing multiple sports and weighing over 300 pounds. However, his nickname given was Tiny. He would get his pro wrestling start working for New York promoter Pedro Martinez, debuting as Italian-American babyface Gino Marella. He quickly would turn heel. Man born on an isolated farm in Manchuria that spoke no English, he ate raw meat and drank the blood of his victims. He would have feuds with the likes of Bruno Sammartino for the WWF Championship. Over time, Monsoon would become 1/6 shareholder of the WWF and would become one of the WWF's top heels. He would feud with superstar Billy Graham, Killer Kowalski, Ernie Big Cat Ladd, and Andre the Giant. He also airplane spun and slammed Muhammad Ali in 1976 in Philly. After retiring, Marella would sell his shares of the WWF to Vince Jr. and in return was given lifetime employment as part of honoring longtime friend of Vince Sr.'s. Monsoon would go on to have a long career as the main commentator for the first six WrestleManias and became a legend. On October 6, 1999, Marella died of heart failure brought on by complications of diabetes. He was 62. Both WWF and WCW paid tribute to Monsoon following his passing. The staging area near the wrestler's entrance is known today as the Gorilla Position, where Monsoon was to be found during WWF events. Monsoon is the member of the WWE Hall of Fame Class of 94, a member of the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame of 2010, and a member of the Professional Wing of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame of class 2011. And I'm not sure why I put for the first six WrestleManias. I believe if that was should be the first eight.
Yeah.
Maybe even nine. I'm not sure why I picked six.
Well, he was off and on for that. I don't know if he was for all of eight of them. And then for WrestleMania 9, he only introduced Jim Ross to the WWF Universe to welcome him in and was basically passing the torch in that regard. Other things that I discovered while looking this up, he was trained by Stu Hart. He worked in Toronto, Calgary, Japan, and mostly in WWF, WWF. His son was Joey Marella. A lot of people consider him one of the best referees in the 80s, who passed away in a car accident. And what surprised me is his other son is Victor Quinones, who's an IWA promoter down in, I believe, Puerto Rico. So, yeah, you mentioned some of the other names he went by. He was a former WWF president of the company at one point as after Jack Tunney got the boot.
And I think Monsoon made a great president.
Yeah, he was pretty good. And he was had to take some time off because of some illness. And that's when Roddy Piper was in there. But then he came back in. And he was the reason why they went to overtime at WrestleMania 12. Now, odd thing is, he's considered one of the best commentators of all time, with being either with Jesse or Bobby Heenan. But the Wrestling Observer newsletter quoted him as the worst announcer in 1985 and then 91 through 95. I don't know what Dave Meltzer is smoking.
I understand to a certain degree, which I disagree, but maybe he, because Monsoon does have a style, he would say concrete when obviously it wasn't concrete, especially at like WrestleMania 8, where it was raised ring and he would say concrete. Perhaps he didn't like that he was using all these medical terms. Personally, I thought that was one of the appeals of his style, and it was his style. And I don't know if it so much fits to today's wrestling, but it definitely fit for what he was calling.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So fuck Dave Meltzer, respectively.
No respect for him. Anyways, we'll move back to some more birthdays, but happy birthday and rest in peace to Gorilla Monsoon.
All right, and I think we're on. There we go. So June 4th, Jazzy Gabert turns 40. Also on the 4th, it's a happy 45th birthday to John Watson, best known to wrestling fans as Mikey Whipwreck. Watson started in ECW as part of the Ring Crew. He was trained by Cactus Jack and would become an ECW Triple Crown champion. Another small guy who had an amusing run, who didn't have an offensive maneuver in the early part of his career. He even won the ECW TV Championship against Pitbull without hitting one move of offense. Also on the 4th, John Silver turns 32. Riho turns a whole 25. She's going to be wrestling for many, many years to come. June 5th sees a few birthdays here. Kona Reeves, no relation to Keanu, he turns 30. It's a happy 38th birthday to former two-time Shimmer champ Madison Eagles. And now moving on to some of the big events. I'll do this page and then tag Sean in. 18 years ago, June 3rd, 2004, TNA taped its first ever episode of Impact from Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. Impact would air on Fox Sports Net. This was the introduction of the six-sided ring and some modified set rules, which only would apply for Impact tapings, such as the 10-minute time limits for non-title matches, 30 minutes for title matches. In the event a match went the full time limit, three judges at ringside would render a decision. That's stupid. The first incarnation of the show would last just 51 episodes when Fox Sports doesn't renew. I do like the 10-minute for TV tapings, unless it's a title, because most of the times they don't go 10 minutes. So
I like the idea of time limits for wrestling, but
yes,
and because it gives another element to play around with for the drama. But
because that way they can go to a time limit draw, and that doesn't really hurt either guy.
And also back in the old days with the TV title, it would be like, oh, no, give me five more minutes. And you get the 5 minutes and still fail.
Yeah. 15 years ago, June 3rd, 2007, WWE presented One Night Stand Extreme Rules. There was a stretcher match, a tables match, ladder match with the Hardys and Haas and Benjamin, a lumberjack match, a McMahon street fight with versus Lashley, and a pudding match with Michelle defeating Melina. 25 years ago, June 6, 1997, ECW presented WrestlePalooza 97. 12 years ago, June 6, 2010, Triple A presented Triple Mania 18 from Mexico City. Tag.
And 19 years ago, on June 7, 2003, WWE presented Insurrection from England. All the titles were on the line during the event, and every champion was able to retain their titles. 16 years ago, on June 7th, 2006, WWE presented WWE versus ECW head-to-head. This card was a soft launch of the reboot of ECW 5 days before One Night Stand. Big Show lost eliminated Randy Orton to win the WWE ECW Battle Royal. Edge defeated Tommy Dreamer in an Extreme Rules match. John Cena defeated Sabu by disqualification in a non-title match. Makes it so worthwhile to want to tune into a new ECW when the ECW guys didn't get over.
Yeah.
13 years ago, on June 7th, 2009, WWE presented Extreme Rules. There were a lot of titles that changed hands during the event, and we'll cover that in our title change segment coming up in just a moment. 34 years ago, on June 8th, 1988, the NWA presented Clash of the Champions 2, Miami Mayhem. 25 years ago, on June 8th, 1997, WWF presented King of the Ring. And that was one where Triple H ended up getting the nod, finally. 14 years ago, on June 8th, 2008, TNA presented Slammiversary. 6 years ago, on June 8th, 2016, NXT presented TakeOver, The End. Of the beginning from Full Sail University, that is, in Winter Park, Florida. In the main event and first NXT steel cage match, Samoa Joe defeated Finn Balor to retain the NXT Championship. And our final event, which I hope to actually share on our Facebook page, potentially off YouTube. It's a kind of a bad presentation, mind you. But 31 years ago, on June 9th, 1991, the Universal Wrestling Federation, owned by Herb Abrams, that is, presented UWF Beach Brawl from Florida. Only 550 fans were in attendance, with about 18,000 homes watching on pay-per-view. Some of the names on the card in 91 were Boris Zukov, Firecat, Terry Gordy, Brian Blair, Jim Bronzel, Paul Orndorff, Colonel DeBeers, Bob Orton, and Cactus Jack, just to name a few. And yeah, it's kind of a train wreck. I think UWF only held two actual events. And just if you saw Dark Side of the Ring about Herb Abrams and the UWF, it was one crazy guy hopped up on cocaine and surrounded by women and found a way of putting on events that nobody wanted to see. You're muted.
Oh, the joke wasn't as funny, so I'm not even going to say it live.
Okay. Well, on that note, I want to switch over to some title changes.
All right. 31 years ago, June 3rd, 1991, at a WCW Worldwide taping in Birmingham, Alabama, Stunning Steve Austin defeated Beautiful Bobby Eaton to win the WCW World Television Championship. Also debuting was Austin's valet and wife at the time, Lady Blossom, Jenny Clark. 20 years ago, June 3rd, 2002, on Raw from Dallas, Texas, Brad Shaw defeated Steven Richards to win the WWE Hardcore Championship. 19 years ago, June 3rd, 2003, at a SmackDown taping in Anaheim, California, Rey Mysterio defeated Matt Hardy to win the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. June 3rd, 2004, America's Most Wanted Chris Harris and James Storm defeated Kid Cash and Dallas to win the NWA World Tag Team Belts.
All before James Storm became a beer-swinging redneck.
Yeah. I like James Storm. 20 years ago, June 4th, 2004, at a SmackDown taping, Billy and Chuck defeated Rico and Rikishi in a tag team elimination match to win the WWE Tag Team Belts. 42 years ago, June 5th, 1980, in Tokyo, Japan, Antonio Inoki defeated Stan Hansen via DQ in the final to win the MSG League for a third straight year. This tournament is known as the G1 Climax. Climax. 22 years ago, June 5th, 2000, on Nitro from Atlanta, Georgia, Eric Bischoff defeated Terry Funk to win the WCW Hardcore Championship. This would be Bischoff's only title win, and he would forfeit the title at the next Thunder.
Titles mean a lot.
Titles mean nothing in WCW. 21 years ago, June 5th, 2001, at a SmackDown taping in North Dakota, Jeff Hardy defeated Jerry Lynn to win the WWF Light Heavyweight Championship. 18 years ago, June 5th, 2004, in Osaka, Japan, the world-class tag team Ghetto and Jado defeated American Dragon and Curryman, Brian Danielson and Christopher Daniels, to win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Belts. 43 years ago, June 6, 1979, in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, Vern Gagne and Mad Dog Vachon defeated Pat Patterson and Ray Stevens to win the AWA World Tag Team Championship.
Definitely before Mad Dog ended up losing his leg.
Yes, definitely before. 29 years ago, June 6, 1993, in Albany, New York, Shawn Michaels defeated Marty Jannetty to win the WWF Intercontinental Championship. June 6, 1997, Taz defeated Shane Douglas via submission to win the ECW World Television Championship. Had Taz not been able to submit Douglas to 3 minutes, he would have left ECW for 90 days. Taz submitted Douglas with a 10 seconds to spare.
Just in the nick of time.
Just. 22 years ago, June 6, 2000, at a Thunder taping in Knoxville, Tennessee, Chavo Lieutenant Loco Guerrero defeated Daphne and Disco Inferno in a three-way match to win the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. And 14 years ago, June 6, 2008, at ROH Up for Grabs in Hartford, Connecticut, the Age of the Fall, Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black defeated Kevin Steen and El Generico in the finals of a one-night tournament to win the ROH World Tag Team belt. Fans would litter the ring and protest over the win. Tag.
June 6, 2010, Arctic Encino defeated a bunch of minis in a TLC minis match to win the AAA Minis Championship. Jack Evans defeated Nosawa, Christopher Daniels, and Extreme Tiger to win the AAA Cruiserweight Championship. And Dr. Wagner defeated Electroshock to win the AAA World Heavyweight Championship.
Not enough midget wrestling nowadays.
Nope. 40 years ago, on June 7th, 1982, from Greensville, South Carolina, Sergeant Slaughter defeated Wahoo McDaniel to win the NWA United States Championship. Wahoo had to forfeit due to injury. 27 years ago, June 7th, 1995, in Tennessee, the Thugs, Tony Anthony and Tracy Smothers, defeated the dynamic duo Al Snow and Unabomb, also known as Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane, to win the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Championship. This was the only tag team title belt change in Smoky Mountain that did not involve the Rock and Roll Express nor the Heavenly Bodies. On June 7th, just like we said, all those matches that happened at Extreme Rules, here's all the titles that changed hands, pretty much every one. June 7th, 2009, Kofi Kingston defeated Montel Vontavious Porter, William Regal, and Matt Hardy in a fatal four-way match to win the WWE United States Championship. Chris Jericho defeated Rey Mysterio in a holds-barred match to win the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Tommy Dreamer defeated Christian and Jack Swagger in a triple threat match to take home the ECW Championship. Santino Marella defeated Vicky Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero in a hogpen match to win the Miss WrestleMania title. Batista defeated Randy Orton in a steel cage match to win the WWE Championship and become the first to win that belt in a steel cage. Jeff Hardy defeated Edge in a ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Post-match, CM Punk cashed in his money in the bank. CM Punk defeated Jeff Hardy in just 61 seconds to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
A lot of changes.
A lot of changes on that night, and I forgot to put Punk in that picture. Anyways, 34 years ago on June 8th, 1988, in Japan, the Glamour Girls defeated the Jumping Bomb Angels to win the WWF Women's Tag Team Championship. Some neat facts here, though. The title changed hands due to a countout, as standard in Japan. And the Glamour Girls are the only two-time WWF Tag Team Women's Championship, champions. Plus, neither team was contractually obligated to the WWF at the time. The Glamour Girls would hold the titles until it was retired on February 14th, 1989.
And look at those Glamour Girls. I mean, look at the girls now and look at the girls then.
Yeah.
Like, wow. This looks like they were part of Twisted Sister or something.
Yeah, just not the same thing you see today, that's for sure. June 8th, 1997, Hunter Helmsley defeated Mankind to win the 1997 King of the Ring tournament. Helmsley defeated Ahmed Johnson in the semifinal match, and Mankind had defeated Jerry Lawler in the King of the Ring semifinal match to advance to the finals. This obviously set up a huge feud between the two, where we saw the birth of Dude Love at SummerSlam when they went against each other in steel cage, and of course we saw the emergence of the third personality, the original one, Cactus Jack, in WWF So a lot of history stemming from that one match at King of the Ring. And, of course, 23 years ago on June 8th, 1999, at Raw's War, number 316 of all the episodes, Ivory defeated Deborah to win the WWF Women's Championship, and Stone Cold was the CEO for the day. A few more title changes before I tag Chris back in. 23 years ago on June 8th, 1999, at WCW Thunder taping from Syracuse, New York, Perry Saturn and Chris Benoit defeated DDP and Canyon to win the WCW World Tag Team Championships. 8 years ago on June 8th, 2014, in Tokyo, Japan, Ricochet defeated Kushida to win the 2014 New Japan Pro Wrestling Best of the Super Juniors 21 tournament and earned an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match at Dominion. June 9th, 1991, Rockin' Robin defeated Candy Devine to win the UWF Women's Championship. Steve Williams defeated Bam Bam Bigelow to win the UWF Sports Channel television title as well. Where am I?
I lost where you were.
I've lost it too. Anyways, well, let's go with 27 years ago on June 9th, 1985, in Tokyo, Japan, the Holy Demon Army, Kawada and Taro, defeated Kenta Kobayashi and Masashara Misawa to win the All Japan Pro Wrestling Unified World Tag Team Championships. And 24 years ago on Nitro, Jeff Jarrett defeated Dean Malenko to win the WCW United States Championship. 31 years ago on June 9th, 1991, in Mexico, Conan El Barbero, or as most people just know him as Conan, defeated Cien Caras in the finals of a tournament to become the first CMLL World Heavyweight Champion. 22 years ago, there we go. 22 years ago, 2009, June 9th, or 2000 on June 9th, the Holy Demon Army had another big win, defeating Tao Omori and Takayama in a tournament final to win the All Japan Pro Wrestling Unified World Tag Team Championship. This would be the Holy Demon Army's sixth and final tag team championship. It wouldn't last long, as Taro and a dozen other wrestlers walked out of the company in protest of its ousted president, Misawa. Misawa would go on to form Pro Wrestling NOAH. 18 years ago on June 9th, 2004, TNA NWA weekly pay-per-view, AJ Styles defeated Kazarian to win the TNA X Division Championship. And our final title change, 13 years ago on June 9th, 2009, Batista vacated the WWE Championship after it's revealed he suffered a torn bicep in the steel cage match against Randy Orton 2 days earlier. And now on to our review of what happened on the Monday Night Wars for the week of June 7th, 1999.
We're going to look at the WCW Monday Nitro first, and it was held in the Cleveland Convention or Convocation Center in Cleveland, Ohio. On the card, Hack defeated Prince Iaukea in a hardcore match. Scotty Riggs defeated Lenny Lane. Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn defeated WCW Tag Team Champions Diamond Dallas Page and Bam Bam Bigelow to win the titles. La Parker and Silver King defeated Damian and Seiko Bay in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Ernest Miller defeated Horace. WCW Cruiserweight Champion Rey Mysterio Jr., Bobby Duncan Jr., defeated Bobby Duncan Jr. via disqualification in a non-title match. Buff Bagwell defeated Disco Inferno, and Sting defeated Randy Savage via DQ. Some big names there, lots of matches. I believe this is in the three-hour edition. And there you go. And I didn't have the times for those matches, but we do for over on Raw. Do you want to do Raw?
Yeah, for sure. On June 7th, 1999, the Raw episode was at the Fleet Center in Boston, Massachusetts. We saw the Acolytes defeat the Brood, who were represented by Edge and Gangrel, and Christian was at ringside, to retain the WWF Tag Team titles in 3 minutes and 22 seconds. Kane and X-Pac took on Shane McMahon, and that ended in a no contest in a 2-on-1 handicap match in 2 minutes. The Rock defeated Triple H, who had China by his side, by disqualification in a cast match in 1 minute and 23 seconds. Deborah, who was champion at the time, defeated Nicole Bass to retain the WWF Women's Championship in a bikini contest. The Godfather, who had Hose by his side, defeated Mr. Ass in 3 minutes and 14 seconds. Al Snow, who was champion, defeated Draws, had Prince Albert by his side, to retain the WWF Hardcore title in 3 minutes and 1 second. Vince McMahon defeated Ken Shamrock in a Lion's Den match in 7 seconds. The Undertaker, with Paul Bearer, took on The Big Show, and that ended in a no contest in a WWF Championship match. Undertaker was defending at the time, and that was 6 minutes and 51 seconds. And Vince McMahon was revealed as the Higher Power. And originally, I think that was supposed to be Christopher Daniels, but that fell through. And it kind of really just destroyed the whole corporation and ministry thing, because it became the corporate ministry and just watered it down too much. And it turned out that Vince was the one who ended up getting Stephanie kidnapped, and Steve Austin had to rescue her from the unholy wedding that was supposed to happen a couple months or weeks earlier, and Vince was trying to get Steve to help him, and the teddy bear got set on fire. Honestly, looking at these two shows, I know we don't have the times for what happened with WCW, but I didn't see a lot of disqualifications or countouts happening in the WCW matches. I prefer to have matches end properly. Or if they're going to use a count out or disqualification, don't use it 6 times in a one show. Now, so unfortunately for myself, even though WWE probably had a lot of storyline going on, especially with, as I said, the ministry going on and what was going on that way, WCW would have probably entertained me more.
Yeah, if you're looking for wrestling, I would have been turning into WCW. If you're looking for entertainment, you know, I know WWE was enjoyable at that time, but some of it, deciding the women's title in a bikini contest is just awful.
Especially when it was Deborah and Nicole Bass.
I'm sorry, I would have gone with Nicole Bass even in a bikini, because Deborah has been passed around more than a Cuban cigar.
And on that note, we'll head back to some more birthdays as we wrap up this week's episode.
All right. And I said that completely out of entertainment. And if there's any big person out there that's listening to this, and I just said that about their wife, then I'm a dead man. Birthdays, June 5th. Simon Dean, Supernova, turns 50. Priscilla Kelly turns 25. Ahmed Johnson on June 6th turns 52. Wonder how much he weighs now. June 6th also, Drew McIntyre turns 37. Is he a big boy?
He's huge now.
Oh, he has a big fatty.
You wouldn't even recognize him. Definitely look it up, but it's not a pretty sight to see what Ahmed Johnson is today compared to what he was then. Then he was at least a huge monster of a man with muscles. Now it's basically looking at Mabel.
Wow. Yikes. Also on June 6th, ODB, or as I like to call her, Boobs, turns 44. June 7th, superstar Billy Graham turns 79.
and the Grand Wizard on the 7th of June would have turned 93. Also on the 7th, it's a happy 33rd birthday to Tyler Hendricks. Tyler, spelled T-A-E-L-E-R.
Tyler.
So it's Tyler. There you go. Would have a brief run in 2012 and 13. Had appearance in 2014 as one of Adam Rosebud's, and had some ROH appearances. She also was three-time OVW's Women's Champion. Also on the 7th, it would have been a happy 72nd birthday to a legendary ring announcer, Howard Finkel. The Fink passed away on April 6, 2020. Somewhat young for the Fink, especially when you look at him, how he was a much smaller guy until he got older, then he got a little chunky, but still 72, you know, thought he'd definitely would live longer than that. And Mick Foley turns 57 on June 7th. He was born in 1965, and he is our superstar spotlight. Take it away. Yeah,
just looking quickly, everybody knows Mick Foley's story. There's a whole big write-up that we have here, but I'm just going to go with the slide that we have in front of everybody watching. Born June 7th, 1965, turning 57, from Long Island, New York. Trained by Dominic DiNucci, debuted in 1983 after basically traveling all the way to New York, as people know, to see Jimmy Superfly Snuka fly off the cage and had him hooked to try and become a wrestler. He retired in 2012. He's worked for the NWA, WCW, ECW, New Japan, TNA, and, of course, WWF, WWE. He's been known as Jack Foley. One of his first matches was on WWE TV on Superstars, and he got his head clotheslined off him by the British Bulldogs, and he was Jack Foley in that match. He's been, obviously, Cactus Jack, Mankind, Dude Love, and he's appeared as himself doing Mick Foley and Commissioner Mick Foley and everything that way. He's known as a professional wrestler, an actor, an author, and stand-up comedian. If you get a chance and he comes to your town, go and see him. He has been here in London, but I actually traveled to Brantford to see him talk about his 20 years of hell, about the night of King of the Ring. And that was an awesome show. I was able to take my wife to it. She enjoyed it because she likes the behind-the-scenes stuff. So, yeah, definitely got her as a fan of Mick Foley in that regards. So, as I said, he's a New York Times best-selling author for Have a Nice Day, Tale of Blood and Sweat Socks. He's written 11 books in total, some are fiction, nonfiction, and children's books. Especially his nonfiction books, well, probably all of his books for that matter, have all been handwritten on yellow paper and not ghostwritten by anybody. So, for all the abuse that he's taken, he has quite the mind to remember everything that happened in his life, and definitely worth reading his books for that matter. Championships, he's two-time ECW Tag Team Champion, one-time IWA Tag Team Champion, one-time WCW Tag Team Champion. I believe that was with Kevin Sullivan. We talked about that last week. One-time TNA Legends Champion, one-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, one-time USWA Tag Team Champion. Over in WWE, he was a one-time hardcore champion when it was bestowed upon him by Vince McMahon. Eight-time WWF Tag Team Champion, three-time WWF Champion, one-time Slammy winner, and, of course, a Hall of Fame winner or inductee in 2013. Some of the fan-voted awards, I guess, PWI Inspirational Wrestler of the Year in 1993. PWI Match of the Year in 1998. That was the Hell in Cell match. Wrestling Observer Newsletter Best Brawler from 91 to 2000. Wrestling Observer Newsletter also gave him the worst promo tactic of the WCW Amnesia angle. I personally liked the angle and even brought it up to him at the show in Brantford, and he got a good laugh at it. Wrestling Observer Newsletter said he's the best wrestling book put out in 2010. And he was given a Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame induction in 2000. So Mick Foley. The other thing I didn't mention was his match against Vader, where he twisted himself in the ropes and his ear popped off. And it's on the floor, and then the referee puts in his pocket. Weird situation there. Go and look it up. I believe it's on YouTube, for that matter. But Mick Foley, happy birthday. Really stand-up guy. Probably definitely a millionaire. Loves Christmas. Has his own Christmas room. A book about becoming Santa. A video documentary about him becoming Santa. But he seems humble and down to earth and still acts as though he's kind of homeless and cheap on that side of things, where he's not spending his money frivolously. Regardless of how much he has, he's still a common person. And that's pretty cool for Mick Foley.
He definitely is a common man. I would say he's a very much like Dusty Rhodes, just a more twisted version of Dusty.
True.
And you can understand him more. June 7th, Kyla Braxton turns 31. On June 8th, Che
turns
49.
Former Nitro Girl.
Maria Menounos turns 44. Tatanka turns 57. And Liv Morgan turns 28. June 8th, it's a happy 64th birthday to Daniel Dwayne Severin, a.k.a. Dan the Beast Severin. Severin is considered one of the most decorated grapplers of all time. He was an alternate for the 1980, 84, and 88 Summer Olympics teams in wrestling and won 13 AAU national championships from 1982 to 1994. He is also a member of the Arizona State University Hall of Fame, a Triple Crown UFC champion, UFC Hall of Fame, and two-time NWA champion. I'd like to see him, in a way, I'd like to see him go in the WWF Hall of Fame, only because he wasn't the most entertaining to watch, but he was truly belonged there, and you believe that he could beat the shit out of most of those people in there. Yeah,
unfortunately, he didn't do too much in WWE.
NWA and UFC and all that. I mean, I could see him going in the legacy wing. You know, it's not a big celebration, but he had a long career.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he wasn't wanted for the TNA side of things. And that's why when TNA launched and didn't want him, they had that tournament to crown their first champion, which was the NWA title. And oddly enough, and ironically enough, it was Ken Shamrock who took it.
June 9th, Tay Conti turns 27.
Yeah, she just got engaged to Sammy Guevara in front of the Eiffel Tower. His second engagement for Sammy Guevara. Hopefully this one works out for him.
Hope it sticks. Also on the 9th, Ed Farhat, who is the original Sheik, turns 98. I'm not sure if he turns or he's still alive.
He would have turned 98.
Would have turned. There you go. June 9th. Because of course he's related to Sabu. Duh. He's gone. June 9th would have been the 98th birthday of James E. Barnett. Of course, everyone knows as Jim Barnett. Barnett, who initially was a pro wrestler turned promoter, was the guy who came up with the idea of setting up a wrestling ring in a TV studio and doing live matches. Instead of highlights from arena shows, this would change the landscape of how wrestling programming would be presented for years to come. In 1983, Barnett served as a senior vice president for the WWF and had a hand in their first three WrestleMania events. He would go on to Jim Crockett Promotions and stay with them until WCW's shutdown. He was 80 years old when he passed. Barnett, an openly gay promoter, is a member of the inaugural class of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame in 1996.
Yeah, and if you ever listen to Jim Ross's Grillin' JR, he has quite a lot of stories about Jim Barnett, my boy.
And that is the end for This Week in Wrestling History. Of course, it's compiled from the vast land of Google, Wikipedia, CageSideSeats.com, and most importantly, from fans and journalists that had front row seats to history. A big thank you, of course, to our sponsor, CoolBet, CoolBet.com, and Sportsbook Betting and Casino Games. Stay cool and bet responsibly. And our other sponsors include
the Johnners Podcast Network and the Hammerlock Pure Wrestling, bringing back the golden age of professional wrestling. Join us in Stratford for family fun action on July 9th at Jobsite Brewery in Stratford, Ontario. You can get your tickets there for just $20. And we're going to present, I believe, four great matches at that event. And you don't want to miss it. Family friendly. July 9th in Stratford, $20. And then the following weekend in Strathroy on July 16th, we return to the Portuguese club of Strathroy. And your main event is going to be Tyson Dukes taking on Brickhouse Mick McGuire. As the last time we were there, he threw out the challenge, Tyson did, to meet the hometown hero. Mick McGuire. So $20 for those tickets, and you don't want to miss that show at all. I've seen.
So what's up Tyson Dukes's butt that he's this badass man? He used to be a nice fellow.
Grizzled veteran.
Grizzled, yeah, that's for sure.
There we go. And so he's there, and you don't want to miss that show. More details as we get closer to that event, but $20 for all our tickets, and you don't want to miss it. So that wraps up this week's edition. We'll see you next week when we look at the week of June 10th through the 16th. Yeah, 10th through the 16th, and more title changes, headlines, birthdays, and superstars in the spotlight. Till then, have a great night.
Yee, 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 yee.